Now, there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, let him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." So far, the reading of God's Word. The Lord has blessed us with health and strength this year. He has given us an abundant harvest this fall. He's given us work and blessed our labors. He has provided us with the love and care of our families. He has provided us with the preaching and teaching of his word. He has preserved and sustained his church in our midst. He has restored to us those who have been lost. He has given new babies this year. He's brought Tom and Beth to the point of marriage in a few weeks. He's given us peace in our land. He has taken from this life one of our fierce enemies, Osama bin Laden. He's brought many of our soldiers home from Iraq. He has brought some improvement in our economy. He's blessed the work of Worldwide Outreach and the work of the Committee on Christian Education, training men for the ministry of the gospel, working on a Psalter hymnal, and the ministry of the internet, the publication work of the committee in New Horizons. The revised book of church order was published this January, and the work of the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension. He has provided more funds to help pastors go to preach the Word of God in many new mission works around our land this year. And the work of the Committee on Foreign Missions, the Lord has graciously sustained and protected our missionaries serving throughout the world. He's given to Dr. Jim Knox a wife. He's provided another servant to minister the Word of God in Uruguay. We've also seen the Lord's judgments upon our sins and iniquities in the earthquakes of this year, the tornadoes and other storms, in severe disruption in families, those turning away from faithfully following our Lord Jesus Christ. Lack of work, increase of government spending and borrowing, continued debt problems both here in our land and in other parts of the world, especially in Europe. Today we gather publicly to thank the Lord for His goodness, for His many mercies to us, and to confess our sins, to pray for His pardon and grace, and that He will incline our hearts to keep His laws, and to daily and humbly beseech Him for His mercy and His blessing and favor upon us. And let us at this time come to God this morning in prayer. Merciful God, we beseech You today that You will look upon us through Jesus Christ, and that You will show to us more of the depravity and corruption of our hearts, and that You will teach us, Father, to hate sin in every form, whether it be within us or around us. And we ask, O God, that we may be filled with our Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, and that we may be filled with Your Word, that we may teach and admonish one another, and that we might never cease giving You thanks and praise. For You are so good to us, and You have so bountifully and wonderfully provided for us and blessed us. We ask that You will give us thankful hearts, and that this day may not be a day that is wasted, but a day that is spent most profitably in remembering Your goodness, in thanking You for Your mercies, and in humbly beseeching You, Father, that You might give to us true repentance as a country for all of our sins, as churches, as families, and as individuals, for we have transgressed Your word in so many ways. We pray for the reformation of Your church. We pray for the reformation of the family in our day. Pray for the reformation of our land, that we might again have mighty men of God to be our rulers and our civil magistrates, that we might have those who hate lawlessness and covetousness, who are upright, honest, just, and true, and most of all who fear You, and whose hearts have been renewed and transformed through the gospel by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we ask that you will bless us in these ways, and that you will open to us this morning your word of life, and feed our souls unto this end. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing together number 76 in the Blue Songbook, number 76. Stand as we sing. Chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you children know what a lighthouse is? When you ride down the road, you see road signs that warn you of dangers ahead on the roadway and direct you not to drive off a cliff. The highways of the sea and the ocean are marked with buoys, lighthouses, and lightships. Tall lighthouses stand on the shore and flash their lights all night to show the sailors the way to port. to give them their position at sea, or to warn them of dangerous shoals. The most famous ancient lighthouse was the marble Pharos at Alexandria, Egypt, which would have cost millions of dollars to build today. It was considered one of the seven wonders of the world. From the 3rd century BC on, the bright fire which blazed at its top guided ships into Alexandria. Lighthouses are often built in treacherous places where harsh waves and wind gusts and even ice relentlessly punish the structure. Without lighthouses, sailors are often in the dark about the dangers ahead. Because of night or because of fog, and can easily shipwreck. On April 14 and 15, 1912, the RMS Titanic hit an iceberg and sank in the cold waters of the North Atlantic Ocean. In 1852, the HM paddle steamer Birkenhead, carrying reinforcement soldiers, set sail from Ireland, headed for the Cape of Good Hope at the southern tip of the continent of Africa. The ship was traveling at a smooth 8.5 knots on February 26, 1852, when the ship struck a rock ledge that would cause the boat to sink in less than an hour. A lighthouse gives light to sailors at sea, to protect them, to guide them, and to warn them of danger. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He gives light to people. He guides people to live in the right way. He protects people from misery and trouble. He warns people of danger and destruction. We read in John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to save the world. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will not perish, but have life that lasts forever. John continues in verse 18 of John chapter 3, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Jesus says in John 12, verse 46, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Jesus said in John 12, 35 through 36, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he was going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He who follows Christ and does what is right shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. To do evil is to live in darkness. People who live in darkness hate the light. They hate the truth. They hate what is right. What happens when you turn a rock over on a bright sunny day? all the little bugs run to find cover. And they crawl under the rock again because they hate the light. That is what people are like also. Those who live in darkness hate the light. They do not like the light. It is boring. It is not interesting. It is not fun. It is not what they want. They do not know where they are going. They stumble and fall and hurt themselves as they grope blindly in the darkness. The Bible is the Word of Jesus Christ. It is the Word that Christ Himself breathed out. Christ speaks what the Father has told Him. The Bible is God's light in this world of darkness. Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Verse 130 tells us, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, 15 and 16 that we shine as lights in the world by holding fast the word of life. When we live by and proclaim the word of God, we shine as lights in this world. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The gospel, or the word of God, is the light of God that shines on people. The same God who created the light on the first day of creation by commanding, "Let there be light," is the one who shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God. God shines the light of Scripture into our hearts, and the Scriptures reveal the knowledge of God and His glory. The Scriptures reveal Christ to us. He is the light of this world. We know Christ from the Word of God. The Gospel is the light of Christ for this world. The world needs that light of the Bible to keep from making shipwreck. The world needs that light of Christ in the Scriptures to keep from stumbling in the darkness of sin and evil. The gospel brings comfort to the heart. The gospel brings the light of life. The word of God brings life to people who are dead in their trespasses and sins. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." The Word of God is the Word of the Holy Spirit. When the Word of God is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit works with His sharp, two-edged sword in the hearts of men and women and children. The Word of God is light. It quickens the soul of man. Human learning, human knowledge is like lighting candles or torches. They give light, but not the light of life. They give light, but they do not give spiritual life. The gospel brings life to the soul. There's a light that enlightens the blind eyes. It goes beyond the eyes. It goes beyond the head. It goes into the heart. It is a transforming light. It makes those who were darkness to be light themselves. It increases in the soul. It is an everlasting light. God's word is the beginning of the light of glory. Until you come to see the light of God's word yourself, You're never able to understand or know the excellency of it. God sends forth this light of His holy word by ministers of the gospel. Ministers are the light of the world. Their work is to shine the light of the gospel for all to see and hear. Ministers should shine in their doctrine and burn in their life. In both doctrine and life, they should hold forth the light of the scriptures. The purpose of the ministry of the Word of God is to open people's eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. The devil holds man in darkness. He holds man in ignorance. The ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ brings grace and salvation. When God sends a faithful minister to any place, God sends light to that place. The light of the gospel breaks forth there. The day of grace and salvation comes. As long as God continues the ministry of His word, so long does the day of grace and salvation continue. And when that is taken away, then the sun is set. Congregation, you are the light of the world. We have this light in earthen vessels. The lamp of the light of the knowledge of God shines in us. This is not merely some knowledge in our head. No, this is filled with meaning and life for us. A minister of the Word of God must be full of light. He must be full of knowledge in the mystery of salvation, so that when he comes to preach, he may come with all the luster of the gospel, and it may shine on those who hear. The minister must come to God's people as Moses came to Mount Sinai with his face shining. A minister should come to the pulpit with his light shining and scatter the beams of light and life to the souls of those who hear, so that they may bless God for that light that beams into their souls. A minister's work is to communicate light to his people, the whole counsel of God, and not to hold back anything that may give light to others. John the Baptist was a burning light. The Apostle Paul was a burning light. A minister should pity poor souls that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. He should consider what a great work he is sent to do. He should carry light to those poor souls that sit in darkness. The ministers of God should have their ministry full of light. Every minister must be careful not to mix anything of his own invention with the Word of God. Some who come to preach have fine mixtures of their own human invention. The more human invention is mixed with the preaching of the Word of God, the less the light of God's Word shines forth. The simplicity and the purity of the gospel lets light into the soul. A minister should be careful not to vent his own passion. God's special providence is over faithful ministers of His Word to preserve their lives because they are light. Christ says in Revelation chapter 1 verse 16 that He holds ministers of the gospel in His right hand. No one can pluck them out of His almighty hand. They cannot fall if Christ holds them. When Christ wants His light to shine in any place, He sends out His servant to give light. A minister should rejoice in the knowledge that God gives people through the ministry and the teaching of the church. A minister should never be vexed that the people receive the knowledge and the light of the truth, but he should labor to do good to all and to shine the light upon all, even the most wicked. He should be careful not to become defiled by their wickedness. We should learn to prize the ministry of the gospel because God's word is the light of the world. and God's servants bring the light of the gospel to us and to others. Bless God that He has brought the light of the gospel to us. Thank the Lord for bringing the light of the gospel to this generation and to this land in which we live. There are many who seek to blow out the light. But God says, I will keep these lights in my right hand, for I have the number of my elect, and they will be called by the ministry of my word. As long as God keeps the light of the gospel shining among us, God blesses us with His goodness. Let us be willing to maintain the ministry of the word of God. Let us pray that God will prosper it, that God will strengthen it, that God will increase it. Do you know what it is to see the light? You would rather give $1 million than to be without the light. John Chrysostom lived from about 350 to 407 A.D. His name means golden mouth. God's people who heard him preach the word of God were so touched with the light of the gospel that Chrysostom preached that they said it were better for the sun to withdraw her beams than to stop the mouth of John. John was the most distinguished preacher among the Greek church fathers. He excelled in spiritual and moral application in the Antiochian tradition of literal exegesis of the Bible. The light of God's word is a mighty blessing. If you lived in a part of the world that has never seen the light of the sun, and one day God appointed the sun to rise in its glory and beauty before your very eyes, how amazed you would be at the brilliant splendor of the sun. You and I see the sun every day. And therefore we tend to take it for granted. We do not prize it because it's so common and so ordinary to us. And the same can be true with the ministry of God's word. It becomes so common, so ordinary to us that we do not prize it as we should. We do not rejoice at it as we should. We do not value it as we should. We rejoice at the light of the gospel because it changes our hearts. The enjoyment of the gospel makes up for any affliction. The Lord says to us in the book of Isaiah chapter 30 verses 20 and 21, and though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. And whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left, God says to you and me, though I afflict you, I will bless you with the ministry of the gospel. We should prize this mercy from the Lord. We should be willing to endure trials and afflictions from the hand of God, especially when He gives us the light of the ministry of His word without fail. We love to have light in our homes. In order to let the light of the sun shine into your house, you have to put a hole in the wall for a window. It is worth the trouble. Because no one wants to live in a dungeon or a completely dark house. The devil envies the light of the gospel. He sends forth fumes and fog and mist from the bottom of the pit of destruction trying to put out the light of God's word. It might darken the light a little while, but it cannot put it out. The light of the gospel will shine and prevail more and more even to the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord is sending forth a great light in His Son. Do not let the smoke offend you. Prize the glorious light of the gospel that God gives you and enjoy it. If the ministry of the gospel is the light of Christ, let us open our hearts to receive the light. When the sun comes up in the morning, you open your curtains to let the morning light shine in to your house. We should lay aside all our former conceits and soak in the light of the truth. This earth, this world, and all that it offers should never stand between God's light and our eyes. Let us never be satisfied until we have the glorious light of the gospel of Christ shining into our hearts. And let us walk in that light every day. Let us encourage one another to go to the house of the Lord. Let us resolve to walk in the light of the Lord because we love God so much. Whenever you come to hear the ministry of the gospel preached, say, Lord, I come to receive your light into my soul, and I resolve to walk in the light that you have set forth to my soul and heart. Every step that we go in darkness is the wrong way. Every step that we go without the light of the gospel is going the wrong way. Some people had light in their youth, but now they have drowned that light that they once had in the sensual lusts and delights of the flesh. Now they only shine as the end of a candle in the socket of a candlestick. Those who walk in the light of God will have great comfort when they lie sick in bed. The light of the Word of God rebukes those who do not walk in it. Light is not pleasant to sore eyes. Those who are adulterers and thieves and liars and murderers and selfish and lewd love the work of darkness. They love the ways of sin. They do not love the light because the light of the Word of God uncovers their sin and exposes their vile and base thoughts and behavior, and therefore they love the darkness. They want to get away from the ministry of the Word of God. They do not ever want to hear it again. The light scorches them. It scorches their conscience. It is a sign of a feeble spirit when a person cannot endure the light of God. People who love to satisfy the sinful desires of their flesh or love the wiles of the devil want the light to be snuffed out because they want to continue living in darkness and in sin. But it is a dangerous thing for a person to sin against the light. God's light is like darkness to them. It's death to them because their sin and their old nature must die. Many people shut their eyes against the light because it stings their eyes. Turn away from the ministry of the Word of God. The Lord says in Job 24, verse 13, there are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways nor abide in its parts, in its paths. God forbid that this scripture be true of us. Let it not be true of us that the Lord has caused us to come and live where the light of the gospel is preached and we turn away from the light. When God causes the light of His Word to follow you, you run away from it. When you rebel against the light, you rebel against God, for God is light. Rising up in your heart against the light is rising up against God Himself. When you rebel against the light, you aggravate all your former sins. In the time of ignorance, God winked at it, but now if you do not repent, Jesus Christ lays His axe at the root of the tree. Your sin will be greater than the sin of the heathen. There's no heathen person whose sin is so aggravated as ours because we live under the light of the gospel. John says in John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. There is no greater condemnation than to rebel against light and willfully make ourselves blind. Will you choose a base and wicked lust before the glorious and blessed God who shines in the gospel? The Lord reveals Himself in the gospel. All the beauty and the excellence of Christ shine in His Word. And when it shines on your eyes, you prefer that which is base, that which is wicked, that which is darkness. Jesus is saying, though you were the most profane and ungodly person, if you embrace the light of the gospel when God sends it to you, I will save your soul from everlasting condemnation. But if you refuse that light, your torments will be terrible beyond measure because you choose darkness rather than light. If you rebel against God and you sin against the light, it is just for God to take the gospel away from you. And you will have a famine of the Word of God. You will have a famine of the bread from heaven. The Lord says in Micah chapter 3, verse 6, therefore you shall have night without vision, and you shall have darkness without divination. The sun shall go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them. So the seers shall be ashamed, and the diviners abashed. Indeed, they shall cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. It is the most dreadful judgment from God when He takes away the light after He brought it to a people. Not only that, but if you live under the light of the gospel and you choose darkness rather than light, you choose the life of sin and you shut out the light of God's Word, and you are lost. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, that the gospel is hidden to those who are lost. Oh, that God would lay His truth upon your hearts, that it would be as a dart on your spirit. Lord, how long have I lived under the voice of the gospel? And what do I know of it? Is it hid from me? If you love darkness rather than the light of the gospel, darkness will be your end. Eternal darkness. Rebelling and sinning against God's light will be a terror to you forever and ever. If God enables you to come to the light, to receive the light, to look upon the light, then you are a true child of His, and you shall shine His light in this world upon a candlestick, upon the housetop, for all to see. The ministers are the light of the world. Light your candle from this light which God gives. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Your conscience is like a candle. If you want to know the condition of your soul, then you must light your candle at the Word of God and fill your conscience with the truth. And that light and truth of the Word of God will search every corner of your heart and every step of your way. Minister cannot expose every sin in every corner of every man's heart. But God can. And you can take the light of God's truth that the minister proclaims, and you can shine it in every corner. By hearing and applying the Word of God, you can find the secret sins that are hidden deep inside of you and cast them out and repent of them by the grace and power of God's Spirit. You are the light of the world. Your doctrine and your life should light this world. You must light this world of darkness. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Wherever a godly person is, godliness and holiness should shine forth in that family, in that place of work, in that school, in that community. Everyone should labor to shine in that place where God puts him and to hold forth the light of Jesus Christ and His Word. Our hearts should be taken off from all other things because our chief purpose in life is to hold forth the beauty and the excellency of the name of God in the place where we live. When the pilgrims came to the shores of this land in 1630, John Winthrop told the people, God has made His covenant with us. God has brought us to this land so that we might serve Him faithfully. And he told the people this, we have hereupon besought Him of favor and blessing. Now if the Lord shall please to hear us and bring us in peace to the place we desire, then He has ratified this covenant and sealed our commission and will expect a strict performance of the articles contained in it. But if we shall neglect the observation of these articles, which are the ends we have propounded, and dissembling with our God shall fall to embrace this present world and prosecute our carnal intentions, seeking great things for ourselves and our posterity, the Lord will surely break out in wrath against us, be revenged of such a sinful people, and make us know the price of the breach of such a covenant. Now, the only way to avoid this shipwreck and to provide for our posterity is to follow the counsel of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. For this end, we must be knit together in this work as one man. We must entertain each other in brotherly affection. We must be willing to abridge ourselves of our superfluities for the supply of others' necessities. We must uphold a familiar commerce together in all meekness, gentleness, patience, and liberality. We must delight in each other, make others' conditions our own, rejoice together, mourn together, labor and suffer together, always having before our eyes our commission and community in the work as members of the same body. So shall we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Lord will be our God and delight to dwell among us as His own people, and will command a blessing upon us in all our ways, so that we shall see much more of His wisdom, power, goodness, and truth than formerly we have been acquainted with. We shall find that the God of Israel is among us, when 10 of us shall be able to resist 1,000 of our enemies, when He shall make us a praise and glory that men shall say of exceeding plantations, the Lord make it like that of New England. For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work we have undertaken, and so cause Him to withdraw His present help from us, we shall be made a story and a byword through the world. We shall open the mouths of enemies to speak evil of the ways of God and all professors for God's sake. We shall shame the faces of many of God's worthy servants and cause their prayers to be turned into curses upon us till we be consumed out of the good land where we are going. I shall shut up this discourse with that exhortation of Moses, that faithful servant of the Lord, in his last farewell to Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Beloved, there is now set before us life and good, death and evil, in that we are commanded this day to love the Lord our God and to love one another, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His ordinances and His laws and the articles of our covenant with Him, that we may live and be multiplied, and that the Lord our God may bless us in the land where we go to possess it. But if our hearts shall turn away, so that we will not obey, but shall be seduced, and worship and serve other gods, our pleasure and profits, and serve them, it is propounded unto us this day, we shall surely perish out of the good land, where we pass over this vast sea to possess it. Therefore let us choose life, that we and our seed may live, by obeying His voice, and cleaving to Him, for He is our life and our prosperity. The church is the city of God. You are a city that is set on a hill which cannot be hidden. You are a holy people to proclaim the wonderful works of God and His glory in this world. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. God sends His ministers into this world to preach His word, to administer the sacraments, and to teach all men everywhere to observe all that Christ has commanded in His word. The eyes of all men behold us. What do they see? We must not hide any of the truths of God, but we must live them. We must proclaim them plainly that others may see and glorify God. Do not mind the reproach of the world or poverty or riches or hatred or favor or life or death. Jesus Christ challenges you, live in truth and grace and peace. Let the light of God's word shine. Do not give offense to any or bring dishonor upon the name of Christ. Everything that you have has been given to you from the Lord, and He wants you to use it to shine the light of Christ in this world. Do not hide what God has given you under a bushel, but shine as lights in your home. Shine like a city that is set up on a hill. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you that you have not shined His light as you should, do not be discouraged. Remember and rejoice that Jesus Christ forgives all our sins, and He, in His grace and mercy, picks us up again and enables us to shine brightly for Him. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we give You thanks for the light of the gospel. We thank You that You have told us to arise and shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. Yes, Your glory has risen upon us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Holy Scriptures, in the gospel of salvation. We thank You, Father, that You have given to us the preaching of Your word. We thank You for its truth. We thank You that we can build our lives upon it. We thank You that we can shine its light and truth around us to all. We confess, Father, our many sins in this land, for we have turned away from Your word. We have turned away to many other false gods. Father, we have not loved You and obeyed You and honored You and served You. We have worshipped and served our pleasure and our prophets. We have been seduced to think that we have found a better way than following and serving Jesus Christ. We ask, Heavenly Father, that You will forgive us. And we ask that You will so cause Your light and Your grace to shine into our hearts, that even where we have failed, we may begin anew to live the light of Christ and to shine Your truth through our lives. We give You thanks, Heavenly Father, for the abundance of good food that You've given to us all year, and especially in this harvest season. And we thank You, Father, for the provisions that You give to us for the coming winter. For we are not as so many, even some who came to this land, who hardly had enough to eat through the winter months. We thank You also, Father, for Your abundant provisions for all of our needs. And we thank You that You have blessed us in so many ways. We ask, Father, for thankful hearts. And we ask that we may be thankful for the ordinary things of life, for our family, for brothers and sisters in Christ, for Your church, for food and drink, for clothing and shelter, for work, for the Scriptures, for the promises of Your covenant. for your faithfulness, for your mercies that are new every morning. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will be pleased to continue to us the ministry of your word, that you will bless your church, that you will strengthen it, that you will cause your word to run and to be exalted, and the knowledge of you to fill our land again. Turn the hearts of people back to the Scriptures, back to the Christ of the Bible, back to the gospel of your grace. And we ask, Father, for your mercy upon those who are afflicted, those who are struggling with burdens and trials. We ask, O God, that in your judgments, which are just, you will remember mercy, and you will forgive our sin, you will heal our land, and you will again grant your blessing and your favor to our families, to our homes, to our work, to our country, to our labors. We pray, Father, for peace, for righteousness, for justice. And we pray, O God, that we may indeed shine your light more brightly and purely, that those around us who sit in darkness might desire to come to that light and to bring glory to you, our Heavenly Father. Father, may this day be a day of thanksgiving to you, the giver of every good and perfect gift, not just here among us, but throughout this city, throughout our state, and throughout our land. And we beseech you, Father, that we might repent and turn from our sin to serve you and you alone. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's sing together number 92, selection C, in the red book, 92, letter C. Stand as we sing, number 92C. the Lord's blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.